a sun cries
AI doesn't give you what you want. And so we have to understand how you best prompt AI so that you're more likely to get what you want.
Hi everyone, I'm Gabby Pisters, Head of Global Marketing and Events at SMR, and we're here at our Chicago event, Art Insights of Innovation, with two esteemed guests, two of which actually had the chance to give a workshop yesterday. So I have Dave Lindahl, Insights Now Inc., and Mimi Sherlock. She is from IFF Nourish. Welcome.
Thank you.
Before I start, I always love to ask my guests to introduce themselves and tell the audience about your companies and what you do. I think it's nice to kick off that way.
Sure.
Fimi.
Yeah, sure. I'm Lady Shahat, and I am the lead for consumer intelligence at IFF Nourish. And Nourish really is covering food and beverage. So I lead the global intelligence group for the CB coverage group, and I'm absolutely a specialty ingredient company. So we supply all types of ingredients, flavors, and other ingredients to consumer product companies.
Nice.
Yeah. So Dave Lindahl, I'm the founder and CEO of Insights Now. And Insights Now Help is a marketing research and consultancy. Mm-hmm. We work in consumer packaged foods, in product innovation and renovation, and bring insights to help companies make better decisions and apply behavioral frameworks to really understand why people do what they do.
Interesting. Now, before we start talking about the workshop that you did yesterday and the content that you covered, how did you get together? How did IFF and Insights Now decide to work together? What was the purpose of this merge?
I mean, we've been organizing that quite a few years now. I originally, tapped into Insights Now many years ago, just because they have some really unique behavioral methodologies. Mm-hmm. And at IFF, we were really interested, especially in understanding people, not just consumers, and just human behavior, and then the consumer. And Insights Now has had over the years some really great methodologies, and that's just kind of, I think we were able to connect on a few great opportunities and work together, and we wanted to do the rest of it. So.
Yeah, me is a lead thinker in the industry, and because of that, because of generative AI is such an important topic today, I reached out to Nini because we were working in this area, and I knew that she must be also, as her team is exploring this. And so we had, decided that this was one of the most important areas to focus a lot of our effort right now.
Interesting.
Yeah. So this whole area of this concept of creating, using generative AI is one out from all of our collaborations, which we're really excited about.
Okay. So a lot of compliments coming from both of you. I see that. Okay. Yesterday, you gave the workshop. You talked to the delegation about how to co-create concepts using generative AI. What does that mean? What did you cover in the workshop?
Yeah, well, we covered this whole process from capturing unique and relevant insights, being able to use those insights to feed into generative AI.
Mm-hmm.
We spent the bulk of our time really pumping people to understand how do you really think of the most about a generative AI.
Yeah.
And doing that through a prompting sequence, where you can be so vicious and super effective at layering your proprietary insights on top of the insights that generative AI can raise, and deal with the generative AI raise, and how to brew that together, create how to sequence that really get you where you want in terms of using insights to develop new concept ideas.
Okay.
And then we talked about what do you do after that?
Mm-hmm.
How do you use that? You do really have all this only can use it in combination with our traditional co-creation sessions. the factual kids in a row who are virtually. We talked about kind of the sustainability with it there. But then led to hypothesis that you're excited about my screen and validate how it's using some different methodologies. So
that was really
the crux of what we cover in our workshop.
Right. And the core of the, I think that is most interesting for the people is how do people avoid generative AI and the sort of the art of the prompt. How can you really utilize that in a way to integrate, you know, the learnings from research so you have a basis you can feed the generative AI so that it and then look for ways in which and in the foster process how to actually create these robust, highly targeted with the basis of insights concepts that you can take right to consumers to further that. So it's really exciting how the problem we're trying to solve here is that today research teams, innovation teams in particular, have a lot of constraints. You know, constraints in their time, constraints in budgets, and constraints in terms of if their human resources bring these together to do innovation, you know, to understand concepts. So what this does is it provides an order of magnitude in the capacity to create.
Okay.
And by utilizing generative AI. And that really helps companies solve these problems so they can much more effectively and efficiently innovate to come up with concepts to that first process.
That's very interesting. Now I imagine that it's not all positive. I'm sure that with innovation, like we just saw on the stage earlier today, the first speaker came up, there's also some constraints and challenges. So what are some of the challenges that generative AI help overcome when we're looking into concept for creation? What can you talk about that?
In terms of the challenges with AI?
Yes.
Everyone talks about really the same types of challenges, right? And that is that sometimes AI doesn't give you what you want. And so we have to understand how you best come together so that you're why they care into us. And it's really being more when they're understanding that even though AI seems like it's another appealing, kind of talking right back to you is enough. And so it's super important the context that you see this. And then also, I think that these challenges are with really just making sure that we use this concept of human in the loop. And that is that, you know, the human is really driving the process. And so if you're not getting what we want, they have control over that. And so I'm sort of taking in that mindset of, you know, you're in control here and you need to direct the AI, you know, in the best way. Then also the responsibility to look for things that, you know, if you call them hallucinations, right? Times maybe when AI is making things up or coming back to you with things that feel like for not being very intrusive or even sense some bias there. You know, as a human, you're in charge and it's your responsibility to look for some of those things, be aware that that can happen, and then redirect the AI before you like. And so I think just making sure that people are aware of the limitations of generative AI is super important, kind of making sure people understand their role as the human in this iterative loop with AI. AI is like a creative partner. It's not a human, and it does make mistakes.
Yeah.
So the human has to be responsible there.
Yeah.
I'll add to that is because of AI, and we need to direct it, we need to teach it through swapping sequences. We came up with a 5-step process to be effective and to avoid some of the pitfalls that you can have when you're utilize a tool that generative AI. And this process is very conversational.
Okay. First step is just to introduce yourself to your AI creative partner.
Okay.
And
they're
not.
Yes. And then you can go from the second.
Yeah. So, Joe, with the first step, what we recommend is to kind of do this check where you give some context to the AI to literally use. I use Bob Cohen.
Okay.
And on his site. And basically, you're just telling it to who you are. And what your challenge is, and kind of giving it the overview of what you're trying to accomplish and why. And not even asking it for ideas, or not even asking it to come back to something, but just giving that intellectual, give it that, and seeing what it comes back to you with. Because it's going to be matching something, and every time you feed it with something, it comes back to something. Then that's the first check to make sure whatever it comes back to you with makes sense. And if they have your understanding, I'll be your challenge in a general way. So, if I say hi, I'm an insect professional working in the baby space, which we were doing through this case site, and I'm looking to come up with new ready to eat products in the bakery for the U.S. consumer grew, right? And give it a little bit more context. It'll come back to you and say, wow, that's a really cool thing that you're doing right now.
I always am serious. So I know.
You're going to usually make it positive in a friendly way. And it's just by doing that first step, before you even get into the details of what we want to generate for you.
Okay.
You're doing a first check and you're giving it some kind of context that's going to help you along the way. Right? So that's the very first step I recommend. In the side step, usually that's when we start asking it in areas specifically for what we wanted to generate for us. So I'm going to start feeding it some of our insights to guide the way that it generates ideas for us. In the third step, what we like to do is kind of stretch it a little bit more, just like you would in a ideation with regular team default. And that's to stretch the thinking even more. Getting beyond some of those first idea that comes out with. And in another step, what we do is we introduce the PRIO as the deliberate creative thinking tool. And we basically ask the generative AI to generate any more additional ideas using a specific creative tool. And that's a creative tool that we've chosen because that creative tool really fits kind of the vision of our needs. And so we let it kind of generating more ideas and pushing it in those ways. Then for us in our fourth step, what we do is we ask it to bring some of those ideas to life. We take a look at all those ideas it's given us. And we say, hey, let's start bringing these to life. What would they look like as a new branded product on the shelf?
Okay.
In our racist. In our case study, what we did is we made up a fictitious brand. We asked it to generate the concepts using this fictitious brand for these new ideas. And then in our final step, we chose some of the ideas that were brought to life. And we asked it to illustrate that with an image.
Sure.
And, the timing we've got to that fifth step, it's got some great context. So, and a lot of times people talk about tissues with the images that are created with generative AI. But I think, once you have been feeding it all this context and the iteration, many times for us, we find is when we asked it to develop an image, we've been something pretty model there. It's given us some very good images. And if it doesn't, we just tell it how to feed it. But we have some pretty good luck using this five-step process and giving it images that are pretty usable and pretty amazing by the end of the first steps.
Well, man, in the second and third step, I think are really for second steps where you're feeding an insights based on prior research.
Yeah.
And the model used in this case study, which is looking at a and trying to find some where are some of the biggest opportunities and big goods is we did something looked at enormous of people's lives where they're using baked goods.
Mm-hmm.
And we looked at the context around, you know, when people are consuming baked goods for instance.
Yeah.
And then we looked at the in those moments, what are the products they're currently using? And finally, what are the types of in those moments, what are the gaps between what people are aspiring to?
Mm-hmm.
Versus what they're actually getting from the products they use. And this one's landscape or analysis allows you to really pinpoint the biggest opportunities. It's where people have these big gaps, but yet they're in those moments a lot when it's relevant for, let's say, big good in this team. And then in the third step, and this is a technique that Ray Plumpton has been highlighting tomorrow in his New York MR that he puts out every week, which he picked up on. We're utilizing this tool called Stamper.
Okay.
And it's a way to take an idea. You took Little Dennis as a
kind of banana
case. Snack and memorable. And with simple cakes. How could you create many twists on that?
So to riff off the little
so everyone knows a little daddies, it fits really well at the moment that we're looking at, like this like an evening indulgent type of moment. Little daddies, you know. But how can you take little daddies and create many twists? And so Stamper is a tool that has been around for a long time that people are creatives or people in facilitating these types of settings for co-creation use. And so we had a meeting was able to train Chatter.ai of what Stamper is. And now we just say, use Stamper and us.
Mom.
And it was able to create not just one, but many, many, many different iterations and concepts that you can then grow the consumers.
So it's really powerful because the things that you would do in a traditional ideation session, a co-creation session, you know, many times you have to stretch people's thinking. And you can do the same with generative AI. Generate even more additional ideas in the direction that you want. So again, you're the human in control.
Yeah.
You choose the tool, you use your actors. Then see what comes back, then see how well it works. And if it's not with you, you know, change the direction, tweak your prompt a little bit. Hold on. And it's really, anyway, it is possible.
Yeah.
You just have to know how to tell it what to do.
That's very impressive. But again, with this five steps, what you mentioned about hallucinations, we have to keep checking throughout.
Yes.
So at the end, you do have, like you said, a trained product that does deliver interesting and useful even images, because I know what all the comments that we get from AI-generated images. So that's very interesting.
Yeah.
I want to go back to the case study, because I know that you gave the workshop yesterday, but the case study is really the essence of this partnership between you two. So what were the findings? Can you talk about it, or is it confidential?
We can talk a little bit about it in general, Alton. You know, so I also was a client in this situation.
Yeah.
And I work for an ingredient company, and we serve the bakery category and many, many consumers of the bakery category.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were looking to figure out how do you innovate in this category, because it's pretty, you know, it's around, it's not a new category. It's been around for a long time, but a lot of the food products, it's pretty sophisticated. And so we really needed to find some way to figure out, you know, where the innovation could be. And this knowledge landscape really, you know, obviously caught our eye. It was a great tool. And through that, we had so many different insights. This gave us already kind of the first layer of insight is just, what are these moments of opportunity? You know, what are the moments? And what really is this stuff? What are people doing in these moments? How are they feeling? How do they want to feel? You know, what other day is it? You know, are they allowing for the people these moments? So really insights from around understanding these moments and really, again, it's all about bridging the end of the gap with the consumer and leading it into like, okay, I get it. These understand what people want in these moments of where we're at and what's happening. And then really the next flavor is like really doubt who's driving into what they're currently using it. You know, what's worrying about that? What's not worrying about that? And today, in just tons of data points around, okay, now that we're in that moment, now we've got data for us to guide the innovation in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
How should we tweak the concepts that are already out there and available to fulfill these aspirational gaps that people have? And so, you know, I don't even know how many messages, but once we understand the opportunity, we need to ask questions about, you know, the motivators of that opportunity, just the context around that opportunity, and then tie it into where the really hats. Is it the new things that are, you wish these things were healthier?
Yeah.
You wish these things have pressure in bias? You wish these things, add more natural bonus to them. So those are the kinds of limited rates that we were able to.
We, as a research supplier in the industry, as consultancy, we do this set of lunacy all the time. This was a 20-minute survey.
Okay.
Personal to feel, but with the right questions in this way, so you're able to generate the stretches of information. And it was to about 3,000 people that were working in that. They use data goods in various ways, which is very high in percentage of people in this U.S.-based. So that's the methodology. It's a straightforward methodology, but you have to understand the framework,
mm-hmm.
and what are the right questions to this framework that realizing that moments of people's experience is the context by which they behave, is the context by which they feel, is the context by which they had experiences, and it's the same context by which they have aspirations to somehow have a better life.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, and it's a really neat methodology as well. And they bring it into from that people are really in the moment when they're talking about these things that they have experienced. Part of it. So it's
very, very insightful. So what's next? Where do we go from here? What's in the future for this very amazing partnership? It seems you work very well together. So yeah, it is next.
I'm both in this study, leaning a lot of things we actually probably have and created project plus with our innovation teams that will work on the categories. We have designers and business scientists and flavorists. And we'll just gather to really conceptualize and unite the real products. And so really our next stage for this particular case study is to do some validation, screening validation with consumers. So that's just kind of the immediate next steps. But yeah, it means that I'm going to take our learning, preparation and thinking all this. Just keep going forward with what else we can do.
Yeah, and absolutely. Today we had a lot of really big problems in the world that innovation is going to be needed to solve, to overcome these challenges. I'm concerned that the off and the resource constraints for innovating is causing companies to become much more incremental and causing companies to not be bold enough to solve these problems that we have. If you look at the issues we have around sustainability, people want a cleaner.
Yeah.
They want a healthier life. You know, they want a happier life. And sustainability issues in the world, whether it's a climate issue, is one example. How you innovate, to impact that. And if you cannot innovate in ways that you're going to create a healthier, happier life for people, people aren't going to buy those products. And therefore, the innovations, say, on regenerative agriculture, if you go through the product, utilizing precision fermentation to create proteins that are, just like cheese, for whatever it be that you want to buy, whatever the cases may be, those technologies, if it's not that impact evil, if that people are not accepted, then you're not going to create innovations that will have the impact to solve the big problems in the world. So I think this generative AI and the techniques that we're working on together is one step towards that. And that's really exciting.
Like I said, it's extremely impressive about Eagles and Joy, and you spoke the truth. Last week we had a client summit and we exactly spoke about that. Consumers are getting more astute. They want to know where their foods come from, their products are coming from. It's not just enough to present them with a beautiful packaging. There needs to be a trail of sustainability behind it, transparency, ethics behind it. It's not just a shiny little thing that you put on their table.
Right.
So indeed.
Yeah, I think trust, right?
Trust
is working these days has changed. And we need to be more transparent. We need to be clear. We need to show, the proof and the data. And the automatic team will feel good and trust our hearts and trust our brains.
Yeah. Indeed. Mm-hmm. You're both amazing. It was an absolute pleasure speaking to the two of you. I do think that the workshop that you gave yesterday should be watched by all of us that are online, because it is really insightful to see what you're doing together. And it's such a healthy and nice combination between the two brands, the two companies that you have. So thank you very much for having this chat with me today. And I hope you enjoy the rest of the conference.
Yeah, well,
thank you.
Thank you for this opportunity.
Of course, it was my pleasure. My absolute pleasure.